first off, Gene, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Dawson, graduated, got on a train at 2:30 in the morning the night I graduated to go to Memphis, where my parents had moved to do war work. That's where I went to art school. My husband's family moved down there. We had gone to high school together. We married, were in college, had our kids, and then decided to move back home in 1953.
So were you a practicing fine artist?
Have been, yes, in my time. I don't call myself an artist now because otherwise I'd still be working, and I'm not. But I have exhibited in Evansville and Clarksville and Mobile, Alabama, and all of the area shows and things.
What medium were you?
Primarily watercolor and a lot of drawing with ink and brush. This is what drew Susan and I together. I mean, I had known her since she was in Pigtails. I was friends with her mother and worked with her mother. And then so we consequently, when Susan moved back from New York to Dawson, then we had this in common because I had been working in the art field as she had. And from that, it grew this just a common bond that lasted until she died. And now that her daughter is my best friend, it was through her that I met Claude. When he came back, they brought him out to dinner one night. So that was our first meeting. I had known the family, had known his father and mother and stepmother and Nancy. And we just all three, you know, we clicked, all of us. Susan's husband and my husband were close friends, and our children all grew up, and we did things together and traveled together. But he was from New York, and we would go up and visit his family. All of us pile in a car and go up to visit his family and visit museums and go to shows and do sorts of things together. Well, that's what drew us together more than, you know, as adults, more than anything else. And even though she was 10 years younger, we still had this bond. When Claude came, he came with a new vision, you know, with his work from Japan. He happened to come at the time that the bank came to a group of us and said, "We have this empty building. Would you like to form a group and we'll give you the building for a museum?" So Susan and I and a group of about seven or eight formed the board and organized the Dawson Springs Museum. Within a short time, then Claude became involved by working, and then went on the board, and then all of a sudden, it was just natural for him to be the curator. He was working really with the same desire that Susan had wanted in Dawson, to have the experience of art and an appreciation of history. Susan and I had worked together on the Dawson Springs Centennial in 1974 and had planned a celebration. She had written a history. That's why we combined history and arts in this one museum, because we knew that there were a lot of people that wanted to know about the Dawson history.
You said a bit ago that both Susan and Claude seemed to be able to get people to do things without much showboating.
Right, right. They very casually say, "This sounds like a good idea. What do you think?" sort of thing. And it worked. It got a good group of people interested in supporting the museum, for one thing. And it got people interested in maybe visiting shows and doing different things together. It doesn't work with every generation, but that was the idea from the beginning. And that was a common bond that we had.
And there was a heyday for
a
while.
Right.
Lots of shows and...
Right. We had a lot of connections between the two of them. They got shows from the Murray faculty shows and Western. Susan was able to get the Kentucky Watercolor Show, which is, you know, a prime show in Kentucky. And we had it 20 years, maybe. The focus has changed a little bit, but it's still there. I mean, the interest is still there. And the basis of what Claude has done is going to carry it on, I think.
I understand it stabilized the environment for his collection of artifacts.
Yes. Yeah. He had a friend from Japan, a dear friend, Miss Kay, who took a particular interest in the museum and did a storage room with air conditioning and, you know, air control for his collection, and that helped, and it gave him a place to show what he had collected over the years. I think you'd find the reason we have all the kimonos, and we have more than 100 kimonos in as a part of the collection for the museum that were made possible by Claude. He wrote a Christmas letter each year to his friends in Japan, and he very casually on the letter said, "I would like to start a kimono collection for the museum." And all of a sudden, that spring, we started getting all of these packages. And these families had kept grandma's kimonos and weren't wearing kimonos anymore. They just mailed them to us and were delighted. And I think probably we have the best collection of kimonos in the whole Southeast United States.
Right here in Dawson Springs.
And not many people really appreciate that. But he made a point of taking him. He took him to Georgetown. He took him to all the colleges. They've been exhibited in Madisonville in the museum several times. One year he asked for paper goods on his Christmas letter. And we have a packaged exhibit of Japanese paper goods, all kinds. Everything from 1,000 cranes to paper napkins, you know. But he designed it as a package to share with other museums. Cadis in particular has shown them, and so has Murray, and different people have shown these packages that Claude assembled. Claude and Susan both were natural hosts and guests. He hosted everybody. He hosted visiting. Once he hosted a visiting teacher from Japan for a whole year, baseball players. Everybody wanted to go to Claude's house when he was cooking, you know, because he was a good cook and you were so comfortable in his house.
What were his best dishes, do you recall?
What he did most of the time is what we called skillet and a steak, and it was a pan broil steak that he did in a black iron skillet. And then he did really good salad and potatoes, and that was it. With wine and conversation, it was always fun to be with because every time it would be a different group of people. The same with Susan. I mean, she had always had a Christmas party, and you'd have 40 or 50 people in this little house that you didn't think would hold that many people, but it did. They were both just natural as hosts, and they were always good guests and good conversationalists we hosted a lot of state people who would come in. Claude would say, "Well, I've got a bedroom, you know," and this sort of thing. And Susan said, "Well, I'll fix a meal." And I think that said as much about their nature, the two of them, as anything. Of course, Claude's job in Japan was working, being a statistician or working as a clerk, was such that made him see things in an orderly fashion. So what we had in the museum became organized because of him. I mean, it became filed. Every exhibit we had, he photographed it, told all the story, history of it, all the newspaper stories, everything that we've done, so that the people that are out there now can go back and look and see and know exactly where something was hung, what it took, how many people came to see it, did we need a reception, this sort of thing. He organized all of the history things that we had collected. Susan had collected over 100 oral tapes. She had a grant because we'd started this during the centennial. So he had all of those categorized, and everything was in a file, organized. The state recognized what we had, and we became an archives section of the state library system. We've had several people come there for reference to write a book, novels even. One woman I remember wanting to write a romance novel all about the New Century Hotel. Well, she was able to find pictures, photographs. And because of the two of them, people began donating old pictures and old family things that they didn't know what to do with. I went through my house, and every memorabilia I had from my kids' high school days went to the museum. They didn't want them. And this is true for a lot of people. Because of the two of them, the museum became a resource center for our town history, for artwork, and for a place to meet, even a coffee break every morning for some of the guys in town. The two of them did this easily. A lot of people work at it, and they didn't. Neither one of them had to do it. It's just something they did. It'll be a part of the Dawson history. It is a part of the Dawson history. Susan started when we did the centennial. She conned me into being chairman. So I was the one to do the telephone and then organizing the committees, and she was deciding what we were going to do. She was the one that insisted that people dress up for the promenades and that we have a centennial ball with Jack Stolkop, with everybody dressed up and this sort of thing. She had a vision of what people could do. Everybody, even though it's 30 years ago, people still talk about the centennial and what we did. And from that, that's when we became so really conscious of the history of the town. We had a hard time printing our centennial booklet because people didn't think, oh, well, I don't have any pictures. I don't have anything you'd be interested in. But once we printed that book, people started looking at their pictures. And then when the museum came along, we had a place to put them. And so we have a really valuable archives of photographs and old newspapers and all sorts of things from the history of Dawson.
That's a quite an endeavor, making sure that everybody knows what those pictures represent and who's
right.
in them and what
right.
year. It's hard in families to keep track of that because we're
it
not
is.
Careful.
It is. I mean, in other words, if the older generation dies off, then who's to remember? In the beginning, we had a strong senior citizens group, and they would take the photographs and recognize, you know, and we'd put up photographs and write out who was there and then put question marks, and people would come along and say, that's so-and-so. Consequently, we've identified an awful lot of old photographs, and they are on file at the museum.
I've been there. It's been a long time ago, but I remember pictures of the ball teams.
Yes. They were part of what was called the Maxis collection. He was a newspaper editor here, and then he worked for, I think it was Governor Weatherford. He made a collection. He had old postcards blown up and had this collection of photographs. So we barred him during the centennial. And so when he got through, he said, Susan, just take them down to the bank and leave them. So that was the first thing. When we opened the museum, that's what we had. And we had at the beginning, we had this exhibit, and that's still there. We add to it, and it's just fascinating when they bring the school kids in to see this exhibit. I've been there as a docent, and you bring in children, and you get a new kid in the block, and everybody says, now this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so, and that's Hans Wagner, and he had this, and we did this, and there were 50 hotels here. From those pictures, they've learned the history. And Claude was real good with working with the teachers. When they wanted to develop something, he would come up and be able to give a story about our Dawson Springs stories, you know.
Who's doing this today?
We have a continuing board. Right now, we're in the process, the museum's closed. We got a $400,000 grant to stabilize the museum. The old building was built in 1907, and it was needing work. And so we got a grant, and that's being done now. But it's all governed always by the board, not the city, but by a separate board that owns that has a trustee section that governs the monies and the built property. And then another section that works on the exhibits and this sort of thing.
What a treasure for the town.
It is. It is. And so many people don't really know about it, you know. I mean, they don't pay that much attention to it. But a lot of them once the children exhibit their work, they get mama in there, and then they go back and tell mama the stories, and it's fun to watch.
I think that called viral marketing?
Right, right.
Wow, thanks for talking with me.
You're right.